to put two bottles of olive oil in their pantry versus one. So their sales doubled. So it was a very smart marketing technique by this company. But people got this image that you can't cook with extra virgin olive oil. And that is completely false. The problem with low quality olive oil, if you heat it, is it starts to break down. It doesn't have the antioxidants, and you don't really want to cook with any olive oil above the smoke point. You don't want it, you know, 405 degrees or higher. It's not a great idea. It depends on the duration of time. But most olive oil, and how I cook with olive oil, is there's a few tricks. So the antioxidants protect the oil as it's being heated. So start with a high quality olive oil, number one.
If you haven't done so already, go ahead and click that subscribe button down below. It's a little red button. You punch that and it's going to notify you every time we put out a new episode that can help you improve your bone health. And then also, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com, sign up for the free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart. That's going to walk you through everything you need to be doing right now to get on the path to improvement and stronger bones. After you do those two things, go ahead and press play on this episode and I'll see you inside. Welcome to this episode of the Bone Coach Show. Joining us today to explore how to select the best olive oil for your Stronger Bones plan is TJ Robinson, also known as the Olive Oil Hunter. TJ Robinson is one of the world's most respected authorities on all matters olive oil. Known for his platinum palate, he is one of the few Americans invited to serve as a judge in prestigious Italian olive oil tasting competitions. He is dedicated to importing rare, fresh-pressed olive oil, the most flavorful and most healthful extra virgin olive oil on the planet. Until now, virtually impossible to obtain year-round in the U.S. All his oils are independently tested and certified for 100% purity. TJ, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Kevin. I really appreciate it. I've been so looking forward to chatting with you. There's a lot of olive oil education that needs to be done. And there's some great folks like you that are really helping us get the word out about fresh pressed olive oil and all the health benefits of olive oil.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Sure. You know, just for everybody listening, the reason why I wanted to have TJ on here to talk about olive oil is because of how great it is for our health. And then some of the things that people just don't know about olive oil, where they could be making the wrong selections and it may actually be working against their health. So we're going to clear all of that up today because we know it's such a popular cooking oil and an oil that people are using. We just want to make sure you're using the right one. So let's talk about the health benefits first. So olive oil, it's naturally extracted from olives, the fruit of the olive tree. And it's a rich source of heart-healthy monounsaturated fats. It's loaded with powerful antioxidants. It has strong anti-inflammatory properties. It contains healthy fatty acids, and it's got modest amounts of vitamin E and vitamin K. And for our bones, there's evidence suggesting that olive oil phenols can be beneficial by preventing the loss of bone mass. And if we're consuming the right kind of olive oil, which is what TJ and I are going to talk about today, is that you can actually have an improvement or it can help support the improvement of bone turnover markers. So if you're consuming extra virgin olive oil and the good quality type we're going to talk about, it's been associated with increased serum osteocalcin and P1NP levels. And these are markers for bone formation. And that suggests it's got a protective effect on bone. So, and not just bone health, right? We've got a 28-year study of close to 100,000 people. Harvard researchers have done this, and they saw a 30% reduction in risk of death from all types of disease for people that were consuming extra virgin olive oil. So this really some powerful stuff and some great health benefits. And TJ, I would love to understand, how did you get into the olive oil space? And why did you start this Fresh Press Olive Oil Club?
Oh, that's great. I mean, these days I'm definitely in it for health. I'm an ex-chef and I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But yes, on the health front that you're talking about, I mean, olive oil for millennia has been used for skin health, for brain health, for gut health, for every health ailment in the Mediterranean. People were using olive oil. And it's a very special product that has so many different layers to it. It's been this buzz product, right? People are talking about the benefits of olive oil. And a lot of Americans have not been receiving the real benefits of olive oil because of the olive oil. I mean, I could go down that road, but there's a lot of slippery business in olive oil. Let's just put it that way. It's been covered by 60 Minutes, New York Times, Wall Street Journal. I mean, there's a lot of trouble. So, you know, it's about finding a source and about discovering what the real thing is. So that's how my journey got started. So about 2005, I was a chef at the time. I was a food writer and a wine writer working in New York for the Food Network. And I had an assignment to go to Sicily. And while I was in Sicily, I got invited by a Sicilian family who took me out to their farm, invited me out to harvest olive fruit for the day. I'm glad you understand that, Kevin. Olives are fruit. Most people in the world do not know this, but olives are a fruit. So we go out and harvest olive fruit for the day. We take those fruit in these small bins that we had gathered in the back of their little Fiat Panda. We drove to the community mill in the afternoon after the sun was down. It was too late and too dark to harvest. We got to the mill. We put our name on the bins of fruit that we had collected all day, and then we sat around and we talked. And my Italian's terrible, but I could understand, you know, just through hand gestures, you know what. And my friend was with me, and thankfully he understood Italian, so it was good. But this was in about 2004, 2005. We go to this mill, and there's a buzz there. It's kind of like visiting a maple syrup producer, or if you're in the South, going to a harvest party in a fall harvest party around where you get fresh cider and that sort of thing. They have the equivalent of that in the Mediterranean, where they're harvesting olives. So we take this olive fruit, we wait there, and eventually, after a couple hours, we stood and waited at the press, waiting on our oil to come out. And from our labors all day, and they gave me a little cup, something like this. And I stood there, and in my cup flows this vibrant green, super aromatic olive oil. And as an American and as a chef and a foodie and living in New York, I thought I knew what olive oil was. I thought I was educated, but I had never seen or tasted anything quite like what was in my cup. So I smell it. It's green, it's grassy, it's herbal. It smells like wheatgrass and arugula. I taste it. It's spicy, it's bitter. So I start to learn, like, and I really just got kind of, I will say, just pissed off, essentially, that this was being kept from me. This was a food that in America I had never had before. Because in the U.S., we only produce about 3% of what we consume in those times, about 3%, and it's still very, maybe 10% we produce in the U.S. So we were relying on imported olive oil, and there was a lot of slippery business in that olive oil. And really, it was a bulk commodity product. It was a bulk that I was used to. I didn't know that there was this thing out there called artisanal and fresh olive oil. And so from that moment on, from that first taste, when my ears were blown off and my palate was like, oh my God, I got to get this back to my friends in New York to show them what this is all about. So I brought some to New York. My foodie friends flipped out. Chefs were like, I got to have more of this stuff. And long story short, I started to do some research, and I learned that immigrants that left the Mediterranean actually took cuttings of olive trees in their neckties and in the hems of their pants because it was part of their family heritage. And they used it for health. They used it for religious ceremony. They used it for everything, really. It was their heritage. They took that on the boats with them to the New World. So Chile, Argentina have the similar but opposite of the Mediterranean climate, and the same Australia, New Zealand. So what I've been able to do is create a club that follows the global harvest. So four times a year, we have fresh olive oil. And that's pretty much the story. It was a life-changing moment that happened in Sicily that, you know, I turned into, you know, friends were wanting more. I figured out, you know, how to make it happen. And, you know, I fly it in by jet. It's a beautiful product, and we'll unpack, you know, more of the story, but that's the start of the adventure.
That's amazing. And I came across your Olive Oil Club a couple of years ago. And that was when I actually started on your club, and we didn't know each other at that point in time. I actually reached out much later after the fact, because I already loved the product and it was amazing. Yeah. But the reason I was even looking was because I had read these things online that, you know, store-bought olive oil, this mass-produced olive oil, it may not actually be 100% olive oil. It may be rancid. You know, there may be other things going on. And at the time, yes, I was trying to improve my health. And the last thing I wanted to be doing was inputting something that was just not good quality, and maybe even taking me the opposite direction and creating inflammation in my body. So you explain the difference between this mass produced, the majority of supermarket olive oil probably, and then what's the difference between this artisan, fresh pressed, extra virgin olive oil?
Absolutely. So a couple different things. It's pretty layered, but yes, related to fraud in olive oil, there's a wonderful book by a guy named Tom Mueller called Extra Virginity. It's a really fun read. It kind of traces olive oil fraud back to the Roman times, as the Roman Empire was expanding and they needed more olive oil to support their culture. So it's a really interesting book following all the way up to modern times. And like you said, there are a lot of people who want to get, you know, consume the Blue Zone diet, that want to consume the Mediterranean diet, and they want those health benefits. But if you're not leveraging the quality of products that they're actually really consuming in the Mediterranean, then you're not really getting the benefits of the Mediterranean diet. So olive artisanal versus mass produced. So in Spain, let's say, which is the world's largest producer and where a lot of our olive oil comes from in the US, it is a bulk commodity product. It is in the newspaper. The same way in the US you would find corn or soybean, those prices, they go up and down and da da da. Well, so it's per liter or per kilo of oil. There's quality. There's extra virgin, virgin, Lampante. There's different quality levels, but let's just focus on extra virgin for now. Extra virgin is the highest quality of olive oil. I will say that not all extra virgins are created equally. Artisanal olive oil, a couple things happen with it. One, it's usually produced on a single estate. This highest artisanal olive oil level is produced on a single estate, or it's got a farm with a mill on its actual estate. So they can quickly manage the time from the tree when the fruits are picked to the when it's pressed. This manages the degradation of the olive fruit. The other thing we can manage is the time of harvest. So if I'm selling my olive oil by the liter, and olive ripeness, this kind of plays into olive ripeness, which is another thing that we'll probably talk about. But when a olive fruit hangs on a tree, it goes through a process. It goes from green to black, and as it ripens. And this process takes about a month, month and a half for this process to take to kind of go from, depending on olive variety, from green to black. If I harvest the fruit, if I ask the farmer to pick the fruit when it's green, it's just barely starting to turn, but really green, you're going to receive, A, it's hard to get off the tree. B, you're going to get very low amounts of oil, typically about 10% of oil. If I leave that same olive fruit on the tree another month and a half, 2 months, it could get up to 25% olive oil. So if you are selling olive oil by the liter, which is how, or the kilo, which is how most of the world sells their olive oil, you're better off leaving. It's easier to harvest when it's riper. It's easy to pull off the tree. In fact, in Spain, a lot of times they just fall on the ground. So there's zero harvest cost, except for a vacuum that picks them up and sends them to the mill. But the bottom line is here is yield of oil inside the fruit. So leaving them hang on the tree, I'll get double the amount of money. So most people aren't willing to step up to a farmer and say, hey, we are willing to pay you top dollar. We want you to get the very best fruit. We need it to be concentrated in health benefits and flavor. And so there's folks like me that are a little crazy that give these olive producers this challenge. And so along the way, I found these people. Many of these people are in a guide, an Italian guide to olive oil called Flo Sole. It ranks the top 500 producers in the world. And there is a top 20 in there. And each year they elect the top 20 producers in the world. And most of the olive oil selections that are in the club are from the top 20 producers in the world. So these are people that have love, passion, care, concentration. They just really are super passionate about what they do. And that comes through in every drop of the olive oil. And you know that from being a club member. So I know I don't have to explain that to you, but you can feel that. And so anyway, that's really what makes it special, artisanal.
That's amazing. And I would think too, as we're talking about yield, you know, sometimes with wheat in the US, to increase the yield, they may speed up the harvest or something like that. But I think using certain chemicals as a desiccant to dry it out and harvest it faster.
Yes.
I wonder if there's a similar process that's used to speed that up with some of that mass produced olive oil as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know in certain areas of the world, if they have fruit ripening problems, they can, you know, do things to the fruit. You know, luckily, you know, the farmers I work with, we don't have that issue. You know, olive oils in general, you don't need to do much to. They've been surviving for thousands of years, happily on their own. They don't need human intervention. You don't need a lot of like sprays and stuff like that. Like you don't need it. One thing that helps in modern farming is when we're able to irrigate the trees and also prune them. When you do that pruning, it keeps your olive oil production more consistent. Basically, if you were just, you know, wild olive trees out in the middle of nowhere, you may get a crop every 2 or 3 years, essentially. Like you're not going to get every year a consistent crop. Well, with modern farming techniques, you, by pruning the trees and giving them water in really stressful situations, not too much because you don't want to destroy your polyphenol count, but you can really have a nice consistent olive oil. One of the problems with just finding an olive oil brand that you love is, or a farm that you love, is every year olives being a fruit. And I don't know if you grew up in the South, but I grew up near an apple growing area. And here we would hear on the news, the apple farmers are out there guarding their trees. The blossoms are probably going to, we're having a big frost tonight. So there are years that happens in olive trees as well, in olive fruit, where we have big frosts that kill the fruit, or we have very low water. So then you have a very low fruit. So most of the time an olive tree is what's called an alternate bearer. So 1 year you'll get a lot more, the next year less, the next year more. So, you know, it's really for the club member, we get to source from different microclimates all over a country or a region where we're shopping for oil. We're not having to get it from one farm that's like, it's not such a great year, but this is our label. This is our brand. We've got to bottle it. We've got bills to pay. You know, that's not how we work. We have a stable of the world's best producers and we can kind of shop those people. So when I land in country, I do this very large grand tasting. My buddy Cheered, who speaks like six languages, he does a massive road trip and gathers about 100 samples. And I sit down with all the bottles and all my tasting cups and I do a big smell test. And I say, oh, this farm. I start identifying the farms that have great quality fruit. And then I actually visit those farms and then produce my olive oils.
That's amazing. And I know we were talking about in terms of how much a specific olive could yield, but what does the ripeness and the time of harvest, how does that play into maybe the quality of the oil and the actual prices that the end consumer would end up paying?
Yes. So absolutely. You're going to pay more for the care and the love. When you look at a bottle of olive oil, it takes 10 times as much fruit as this. If it's a 10% yield, it would take 10 times as much fruit to be harvested from the tree and pressed to make this. Also, with our olive oil, we fly it in by jet. Most olive oil is slow boat from Europe, Olive oil, the way it's labeled and sold, is it's actually a lot of places don't put the harvest date on the bottle, which is very important. You want to know the harvest season. So, for example, this was just from Italy about 2 weeks ago, but this was harvest. This actually has the harvest season on the side of every bottle. So that's one of the things your listeners need to always look for wherever they're shopping for olive oil. But most olive oil is dated for an expiration date, not a harvest date. And also, it's actually dated when it's bottled. It actually has nothing to do, not mine. Mine's based on harvest. We're talking bulk. In bulk land, commodity olive oil, like you would find at your supermarket, a lot of those are dated when it's actually bottled, and there's no correlation for an expiration date of 18 months or 2 years, or longer. It's actually tied to when it was bottled. It has nothing to do when it was harvested. So you really don't know, and it makes it very tricky for the consumer, especially one that's wanting to have a really high quality product in their life.
That's great. Hey, if you're listening to this on the podcast right now, or you're on the YouTube channel and you're watching this, number one, if you're finding this helpful, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button. But also, if you know somebody who would benefit from this, who's the person that is always using olive oil on their food, that maybe just buying the regular supermarket olive oil, share this with them right now, because TJ and I are going to get into some really interesting stuff. And we're actually going to do a little taste test here. TJ sent me
Yes.
some bottles early from the harvest, which I'm so grateful for. So we're going to do that here in just a little bit too. But I've got a few other questions for TJ also, which are,
Please.
How does the variety of the olive play into the taste of the oil?
Yes. So my background is as a chef. I was a chef, a classically trained French chef. Went to culinary school and pastry school. My specialty was sauces. I was a saucier, so that was my main gig. And so for me, olive varieties in Italy, there are 550 olive varieties alone. And when we think about what does that mean, you could think of it as an analogy with wine, like Merlot versus Cabernet. You could think about it like apples, Golden Delicious versus Granny Smith, right? One's tart, one's bitter, one's kind of sweet and very appley. So the same in olive fruit. So in olive fruit, you have different olive varieties that grow in different regions. In Italy, like I said, there's about 550 of those. And each olive variety has I wouldn't say drastic change in taste, but there are definitely families of olives that have certain characteristics. And essentially, when I try to blend an olive oil, because my goal, my club members get three oils every quarter. They get a mild, a medium, and a bold. And my goal is to make a sauce that Mother Nature made for you of 100% olive oil that is just made up of potentially, like this quarter, actually, all of them happen to be monovarietal. They're all 100% single varietal. Very rare. That doesn't happen very often. Usually, I do create a blend. And doing that, sometimes and people ask, like, which country I love. Well, I love going to Italy for olive oil and all the varieties there. And it allows me to make really interesting blends. So I can take one farm who has, let's say, four or five different olive varieties. And the reason they do that is because they all ripen at different times. And as a farmer, you don't want everything having to be picked during the same 3 day window, the magic window of the perfect moment. So you choose different olive varieties. But what, so I can choose oils that have different levels of fruity or bitterness and spiciness to create a very harmonic oil that's very pleasant. And I do that a lot more in the New World, which we'll talk about in Chile and Argentina and Australia, more than the Old World. I like to support these single variety farmers that are really mission driven around certain dying varieties of olive fruit. It's kind of like in the US, if you drink ciders, for example, you may want to support like heirloom ciders as opposed to like, you know, Rolling Rock or whatever. I don't know what all the ciders are in the world, but you know, there's just, it makes it interesting. So I think of olive oil as a sauce that Mother Nature made for you. I have a little hand in it by creating a blend. I do the same thing with the mono varietals as well. In that way, I typically choose olive tanks based over the harvest window. So let's say the Drita olive that's in this one, which we'll taste, was actually harvested over about 3 weeks. So I can take certain percentages from tank one, which is more bitter, more structured, versus week three, where it starts to get a little more round, a little more sweeter. So, and blend those two tanks together to make my sauce that Mother Nature makes. So I do this to try to get those flavor profiles of a mild, a medium, and bold. And if this is kind of like, if you're listening and this is just blowing your mind because you think olive oil is just olive oil, it's not. What you're used to is olive oil, but there's a whole nother layer there. It's kind of like going from Velveeta to like the artisanal cheese, you know, it's just a totally different thing.
Velveeta. Oh, gosh. Childhood memories there. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, but so when we're talking about the taste also, I'm guessing that the inputs, the different olive varieties and things like that, that also is going to lead to higher antioxidant qualities and things like that. So can you talk about, and that's part of the health benefit part of this. So how do you know if you've got this antioxidant rich olive oil that you're actually consuming?
Yes. So third party testing, I love to get all my olive oil tested for the antioxidants. So I can tell you polyphenol levels in the oil. So then that's part. So when we test an oil, we do it in two different ways. One, we do it organoleptically, which is by taste. It's a sensory panel. This panel who sits in a room and they each evaluate an oil with a score sheet. And that's what's given on our lab report. It's, and we'll talk about the three things or four things that they're assessing. But the health benefits of this early harvest oil is not only flavor, but a much higher level of antioxidant. So for example, the Coleotruschi has a polyphenol level of around 650 polyphenols, where grocery store olive oil may have a polyphenol level of like 150-ish to maybe 200. So you're getting much, it's a very concentrated form. The other problem with olive oil is it does not age. For some reason, people lump it in the wine category in their mind, maybe because they're both from a grove. I'm not sure. Or a vineyard, I don't know. But anyway, people think, you know, olive oil lasts forever like wine. And it's absolutely not the truth. The health benefits, those antioxidants and polyphenols we're talking about that I measure, those deplete depending on the quality level and the number at which they start. They typically deplete by 50% over the first 6 months of production, since production. To get most olive oil coming to the US, most people are not crazy enough to put it in the belly of an airplane the way I am and get it here immediately and rush it to their club members. Most people get it here, you know, very slow boat. It goes through distribution, it sits on the supermarket shelves, it gets light. There's light, temperature, and time are the three things that really kill olive oil. So that's why you'll see over the last few years, a lot of those plastic bottles in the grocery store that were clear have suddenly gone to being green color plastic because they know light, you know. So the big bottlers are upping their game. They're trying harder. They're doing better. Consumers are more aware. But the real health benefits, you want to get olive oil when it's fresh. I mean, for taste and for health. And that I'm the single link in the chain between the passionate farmer with the grove and your table. I'm the single link in the chain. And I'm a crazy maniac who is like on every little detail, highly fastidious on managing everything from the fruit all the way to your table. So, and you'll taste that, obviously.
And that is so counter. What you just said is so counter to how so many of us grew up, where when you get something nice, like I don't drink alcohol anymore, but I used to, but like when you get a nice alcohol, or that was always reserved for special occasions. And what you're saying is, don't use your good quality olive oil just for special occasions. Don't keep it in the pantry or wherever for a year, 2 years, 3 years. Use it up, get the health benefits, you know, add it to your food, your salads, your, you know, your sautés. And actually, maybe we can get into that now, TJ, of how,
absolutely,
how should we be using this good quality extra virgin olive oil in a way that still preserves all these antioxidants and health benefits too. Do you have any tips for maybe cooking with olive oil?
Yes, cooking and using in general. So when I set my table, so let's talk about non-cooking things first. When I set my table with my salt and pepper on the table, I also put my bottle of olive oil on the table. And that so instead of like ketchup or A1 or whatever people may use at the table, a drizzle of olive oil over most dishes really elevates the experience. The difference between a fresh oil versus a commodity style oil is think of dried herbs versus fresh herbs. So a fresh pressed olive oil is going to be like using fresh herbs. So if you remember that moment where you in your kitchen started using fresh herbs, because the higher level of antioxidants, the higher level of flavor, all those benefits you wanted from fresh herbs, it's the same with fresh olive oil. So, and dried herbs are more like commodity. You know, they're a little more muted. They're a little more gray, well, a lot more muted, a lot more gray, and just not as fresh and vibrant and lively. So when you get a high polyphenol olive oil or a high antioxidant olive oil, what you want to do is you can absolutely use it for cooking. There was a company, I won't mention their name, but they've been around for a really long time. They were great marketers and got people using olive oil. But they discovered it. They told people that you need two types of olive oil in your pantry, not one. You need extra virgin for salads, and you need virgin oil for using cooking in your kitchen for frying, sauteing, etc. They were able to have Americans put two bottles of olive oil in their pantry versus one. So their sales doubled. So it was a very smart marketing technique by this company. But people got this image that you can't cook with extra virgin olive oil. And that is completely false. The problem with low quality olive oil, if you heat it, is it starts to break down. It doesn't have the antioxidants, and you don't really want to cook with any olive oil above the smoke point. You don't want it, you know, 405 degrees or higher. It's not a great idea. It depends on the duration of time. But most olive oil, and how I cook with olive oil, is there's a few tricks. So the antioxidants protect the oil as it's being heated. So start with a high quality olive oil, number one. Two, when you heat your pan, most people have been taught you put the pan on the stove, you add the olive oil, you wait for the olive oil to get hot, bubbly, smoky, then you add your food. That's the wrong way. We do not put our olive oil in the pan. We heat our pan. We get it nice and hot to the temperature you want it to be at. You have your food ready. You add your olive oil to the pan. Then you add your food. It takes literally 3 seconds for that olive oil to heat up. You don't want to be cooking your olive oil. It's not like the biggest deal in the world, but it just keeps it in a better fashion longer. So my fried eggs for in the morning, I love fried eggs, like crispy edge fried eggs. So my olive oil fried eggs in the morning are so good. I just cook over medium heat. You know, I heat up my pan. I wait for it to get nice and hot. I add my oil. I add my eggs. Sometimes I have this little trick. I put a little lid on top and it kind of steam fries them a little bit. It's so good. But basically, when the olive oil is on my plate, when I eat breakfast, I taste that olive oil. And I can actually tell that it has not changed. It really did not change between the bottle and what I'm consuming on my plate. So I can tell my palate's telling me there's not been degradation. And really what you want to look for are these things called polar compounds. And there's a lot of research being done saying high quality extra virgin olive oil is a very, very stable fat for cooking. And I'll share those articles in that link with you. And maybe you can put it in your show notes, Kevin, because it's really, really fascinating. You know, how health promoting olive oil can be when you cook with it. And Italian grandmothers, you go into their kitchen, they don't have four or five different oils. They have extra virgin olive oil. They do everything with it. Like they do their frying, they do their baking. People don't know that you can bake with high quality olive oil. I mean, even like a box of brownies, you just, you know, add a little bit of fresh pressed olive oil instead of the seed oil that it recommends. And the flavor just goes through the roof and it makes them, you know, more healthy as opposed to, you know, some health depleting seed oils that are out there. So yeah, it's there are definitely some tricks, but starting with high quality stuff makes a big difference.
That's great. There are two things I want to talk about there. So
please,
I would think that when you bake it, also because it's not that direct heat as it is like in the pan,
Absolutely. You
probably have a little bit more wiggle room than let's say 350 degrees of baking. Probably go a little bit higher than that.
Absolutely, you do. Absolutely. And really the flavor of the baked goods, I mean, they're just, you know, whether it's, like I said, like with chocolate, olive oil pairs very well with any kind of quick breads, like pumpkin or zucchini bread. You know, I don't know exactly what the Bone Coach diet looks like. Sure. For example, I mean, people even drizzle it over vanilla ice cream. People put it over a chocolate mousse. I mean, people use olive oil. They bake chocolate chip cookies with it. They do a lot of things with olive oil baking. But I am a very simple guy. Even though I'm a chef, I love very simple dishes. So for example, one of my favorite things in the world, I had this for lunch today, actually. My wife, who's a great cook, she buys French green beans, fresh French Hercover greens, green beans at, I think she got these at Trader Joe's or maybe the supermarket, and she lightly steams them and she takes those out. She puts them on my plate. I put a little bit of high quality salt on them and I drizzle them with a little fresh olive oil. It's that simple. It's like two or three ingredient cooking. And people say this when they travel in Italy, like the food's so good. Well, it's because there's not like 500 ingredients. It's just very simple. So you can do the same thing with broccoli. So very simple, steam some broccoli, you know, add a little olive oil, add a little salt. You're going to be in heaven. Like you're going to start to see, like, you can use olive oil as your backbone to healthy cooking. It's a real gateway into healthy cooking in your own kitchen. My wife even puts it in her purse. When we go to restaurants, I don't consume, because most bottled salad dressings have A, low quality fats, B, have a lot of stabilizers and sugars and things that are not good for you in bottled salad dressings. So what we do, Megan slips this small bottle in her purse, and then we ask for extra lemon for our water. So we'd go, when we order a salad, we have our fresh squeezed lemon and our fresh olive oil, and we skip all those bad, you know. So even at restaurants, we take our olive oil with us because, you know, in restaurants, you're probably consuming quite a bit of unhealthy fats. It's really nice to counterbalance those with something that's super health promoting.
Totally agree with that. And then I know some people will take their olive oil and put it in the refrigerator to see if it's, is it real olive oil or is it not? Can you help, you know, explain why people would do that? And is that a valid thing to be doing?
Yes, sadly, Dr. Oz mentioned this a few years ago on his show, like how to tell if your olive oil is real. Throw it in the refrigerator and it's going to tell you if it solidifies or not, whether it's real. Absolutely false. Absolutely false. UC Davis did a follow-up study, published a paper on this saying it's absolutely fake. To tell if something's a real extra virgin olive oil, it has to go through two things. One is a sensory panel that evaluates the oil and looks for certain attributes and also looks for things which are called defects. So things that happen in the process of making the olive oil create what are called defects. And a real extra virgin olive oil, a pure 100% extra virgin olive oil, should not have any defects. And two, it's going to be sent through chemistry tests. And these chemistry analysis tell a story about the degradation of the fruit as well. You know, were they harvested and held for days, a day before pressing? Were they, did they have a lot of damage to the fruit? Were they damaged when they were harvested? Was there a big olive fly problem that created, you know, bad quality fruit? Yeah. So these chemistry parameters that are used by olive oil labs, and I use the best one in Italy to evaluate all my oils from all over the world, they then give you a certificate of analysis, which actually tell you everything you need to know about the olive oil. So it's important to look for third-party certifications, even wherever you're buying your olive oil. But most importantly, it's you have to educate your palate, because you'll know once you're educated, you'll know. I'm sure, Kevin, you go to restaurants all the time. And I mean, you know, from time to time. But when you go to restaurants and they like put that, you know, olive oil on the table and you're supposed to like dip stuff in it, you probably are like, you're like me. And then you're like, like, I know better.
We need a pocket, good quality olive oil.
Exactly. But no, it's, you know, it's funny. You get very spoiled when you have the good stuff. So good.
Well, I would love to, by the way, again, if you're listening to this and you're finding this helpful or interesting about an oil that you have probably used, or you know somebody who has used the majority of your life, and you may just be finding out now that it might not be the right olive oil that you're using or have been using, and that could be impacting your health, but also the way your dishes taste and things like that. So share it, like it, subscribe if you're listening right now. And I think, TJ, how about we do a little taste test?
Yeah, so start with that one.
Jump into a little taste test here.
Yes, this is fun. So we're going to be making a very special offer to Bone Coach listeners later in this show, where people are going to be able to do their own olive oil taste test challenge in their home for an incredible price of $1 for shipping for the oil to arrive at their home. So we'll be talking more about that later, but I want to do this same kind of test with Kevin. And so you guys, even if you don't order the olive oil, you can assess what's in your pantry and assess any olive oil you taste. So the first one we're going to taste is the Frantoio Mercurius. This is an Italian olive oil. Yep, this one. So Kevin, we're going to take our white cup, and we are going to place approximately a tablespoon in the bottom of this white cup, about a tablespoon. You can already smell, like, it's like you just open the cap on the bottle and you're transported to Italy. Like, it's beautiful. Wow. It smells this incredible aroma that just starts coming out of the glass. It's really nice. And I'm going to explain how to do this as we go through the process and what we're looking for.
Marine Kevin knows what to do with this, but not olive oil tasting Kevin. He doesn't know what to do with this. So you're going to teach me that.
That's right. That's right. We're going to do it. All right. So one, we're not going to taste right away. Our first step as an olive oil assessment, if we were part of a panel, is to assess the nose on the olive oil. So we're not going to taste it. And how do we do that? We put the cup in the palm of our hand. We do this to warm the olive oil. We also put our hand on top. And while we're doing so, we're warming the olive oil in the cup. And professional tasters use a blue cup to disguise the color, because color is not an indicator of quality. Different olive varieties have different final end product color. So that's why professional tasters use a blue cup. So we're warming that up. I'm going to remove my hand And we're going to smell this olive oil. It, okay. Wow. So it's already, it smells like fresh cut grass. Like, you know, that I've just been out to cut my grass. It smells like arugula. It smells like rosemary. It's really like a garden, right? I feel like I've taken fresh herbs and crushed them in my hands, and I'm just sticking my nose in that. A little bit of wheatgrass. So that's the assessment. So we're looking for positive things, and we're also looking for negative things, which I would call defects or professional color. And those defects would be if it smells like olive brine, or if it smells like wine, or if it smells muddy, or it smells fusty or musty. Those are all defects that happen through production. So, and by storage and those sort of things. So those, we don't find any of those here because these are beautiful, olive oils.
This is like the words bright and vibrant kind of come to mind as I'm.
Yes, exactly. And exactly. No. And in fact, you know, I will, because, you know, I geek out with my little tasting panel. We have our own internal tasting panel. And I'll tell you what we said about the nose on this oil while you're smelling it, Kevin. All right. So I say impressions and recommended food pairings. Aromatic in the tasting glass with fresh grass, walnut, green banana, chicory, lettuce, orange peel, wild mint, and fennel seed. Taste it. All right. Now let's talk about how to taste it. Okay. So when we taste this oil, we want to place about a teaspoon on our palate. We want to sip about a teaspoon, and we want to kind of chew on it a little bit. So that's what we're going to do. I'm going to do it too. That's good. That's really good. All right. So you're going to notice a couple things. One is bitterness. You're going to taste bitterness. This is an amazing sign. This tells you I'm getting ready to cough. And that's the next thing you want to happen. That's a great thing as well. So two things. One, bitterness. And two is spiciness. Do you feel on your tongue, it feels like you had a peppercorn or something like that, and you've got this tickle in the back of your throat, kind of this pinch? Yep. That peppery pinch tells you the olive oil is fresh. The bitterness tells you it's from very early harvest fruit. And when I say bitterness, I'll read you my tasting notes, and feel free to have another sip if you like. Taste it and you'll detect these flavors. The sweetness of almond, the astringency of green tea, the bitterness of endive, wild mint, basil, spinach, and fennel fronds mingled with the spicy bite of fresh arugula. So this is kind of my, you know, waxing poetically like a wine taster would. You know, not everybody finds all these things. These oils are alive and they change over time. So these tasting notes will not be the same in 6 months. They will not be applicable in 6 months. So it's a really interesting, vibrant product. And it leaves the mouth very clean. It's very balanced in the mouth. So we're assessing fruitiness, bitterness, spiciness, and overall harmony. And that's what we're looking at. And this is a single olive variety from the Drita olive that is grown in one small village in Abruzzo, which is very close to Rome. It's just on the other coast of Italy, about midway up the boot. But it's a beautiful olive variety. And there's the gentleman Claudio Di Mercurio, who produces this oil for us, is just a champion of this olive variety. And he's worked really hard to grow it. And in fact, when I was there this year, I had the privilege of the DOP, which is the denomination of protection, basically, for certain food products in Europe. The DOP president for olive oil actually visited me when I was there. And he said, "Well, you love this Drita olive oil. You're teaching the world about this amazing olive oil, this little Drita olive that's from our region." You know, he was just like, you know, he was there to interview me and to get the word out, you know, about, you know, this crazy American who's flying this Drita olive oil to Americans who, you know, want the healthiest and most flavorful olive oil they can get their hands on. And, you know, very lucky to have, you know, 20,000 club members who every quarter get this, you know, incredible olive oils. And you said don't store olive oil. My club members, they get a bottle a month and they know they're getting a bottle a month. So every quarter they get a package that has three in it, a mild, medium, and bold. And they know that they have 3 months to use those oils. And then the next shipment's coming their way. Excuse me, I get some water.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. And it automatically just shows up and it's right there and it's ready to go. And it's usually right on time. I mean, it's just
that's right.
You're using up.
That's right. Yeah. And, you know, I have two different sizes. People who have don't cook much at home or you know, even want to just take it to a restaurant, they get the smaller bottles and they use that up over a month. But people that have a larger family of four and they are really cooking and really use the olive oil, they love the large bottle because they do everything in their kitchen. It's definitely like a pantry pick me up. And yeah, it's pretty incredible. It's been a really nice adventure. I think the word is finally getting out. There were a couple really good articles. The Wall Street Journal just said, don't sleep on this game changing ingredient. When it comes to olive oil, the younger, the better. Vibrant, flavorful Oleo Nuovo, which is what our olive oil is a pantry pick me up. A pantry pick-me-up that you should purchase pronto. And then a few weeks later, the New York Times said, the world of olive oil is murky. Here's help for the home cook. Don't try to parse every word on the label. The keys to good flavor are seeking out the freshest oil and using it generously. Olive oil should be poured lavishly and used up quickly. Experts say that freshness, more than color or price or place of origin, determines its quality. So that's from the New York Times. So that it's finally, you know, I've been beating this drum since 2004, 2005 when I started the club. I feel like finally, you know, it's really the snowball is rolling and it really couldn't be at a better time, actually. It's very exciting for us as consumers to have something like this available.
That is exciting. It really is exciting. Let's do this other olive oil that we've got, the one with the really high antioxidant.
All right, this one is the one I was warning you about. Yes, I'm waiting on the lab test on the one we just tasted. So in Tuscany, the first time I tasted oil in Tuscany, I stepped up to the press with my tasting cup, and the guy who warned me is like, TJ, I'm not sure. This could be a three cough oil. And I'm like, well, what three cough? What do you mean? He's like, oh, so here we say it's a one cough, a two cough, or a three cough oil. So I assume that this is a three cough oil because this one that we're going to be tasting from the Canonese, olive variety, right outside of Rome in a place called Lazio, from a company called Colli Etruschi. This is 100% olive variety of the Casanese. And what we want to do is, yep, you got the technique, warm it up. And we're going to start by smelling it because this one is quite bold. And I'm not going to be able to taste as much as you because I know when I go into a little bit of a coughing. So this one's even more concentrated green, right? You're sensing kale, probably. You're sensing on the nose. You're smelling kale, darker things like dark leafy greens. I'm going to read my tasting notes, my aroma notes, and let's.
I'm going to go ahead and taste it as we do this.
Yeah, go for it. All right, fresh from the Canonese olives, native to Lazio. This is an assertive oil. I love the nutty nose, green almonds and hazelnuts, followed by chopped baby spinach, Tuscan kale, and watercress. And then tomato leaf, green apple, thyme, lemon zest, dark chocolate, and green peppercorns were detected. A muscular oil and intense in the mouth. It's reminiscent of a escarole, a radicchio, dandelion greens, kale, rosemary, lime zest, hazelnuts, and cocoa nibs. Health promoting polyphenols are indicated by the spiciness of black pepper. So I may have waxed a little bit overly poetic about that one, but it does have a lot of things going on, right? It kind of, even though it's a strong, bitter oil, And we're tasting these in a cup, right? Like you, when you taste these on food, you get a lot of flavor. You're not necessarily getting a ton of spice or something like that when you consume your food. So don't worry about that. I will say that a lot of folks are not accustomed to fresh olive oil when they first get it. So they are like, in fact, I've had letters from people who get their olive oil and say, what the heck? This stuff tastes bitter. It's spicy. I think it's something's wrong with it. So please write me back. I wanted to love this olive oil. And so we write them back. We tell them, hey, this is what actually real olive oil should taste like. You just didn't know that because it's been kept from you because you've been buying, you know, what most of us do, which is in our supermarket or gourmet store. And we're like, stick with it. You know, use it. You know, like we've told you, these simple ways, using your salads, using your vinaigrettes, use it in drizzling over vegetables. If you grill meat or whatever, drizzle it on top when it comes off the grill. You can use it as a marinade, but stick with it. Well, 2 weeks later, we get an email from the same, you know, lady who's like, oh my gosh, now it's kind of like, you remember, well, you're not that old, Kevin, but I'm old. You think about like back in the day, it was like Budweiser, right? It was like Budweiser, Miller Lite, you know, and now there suddenly became this explosion of IPAs, right? These triple, quadruple hopped, very hoppy, very intense beers with these, you know, very green notes and very flavorful artisanal microbrews. Well, olive oil is the same way. If you're used to only consuming Bud Light your entire life, and then suddenly you switch to, you know, full-bodied IPAs, you know, it's a different world. So there is a little bit of a learning and educating your palate, but it's the same way. Like if you used to only eat iceberg lettuce, but now you appreciate and love arugula and spinach and baby greens and baby sprouts, like you're going to get there. I guarantee you. And you're going to be an advocate and be able to teach more people in your life and share this product with them.
This is great. And I know, TJ, I do have a few other questions for you, but
please, this is fun.
I want to make sure everybody knows TJ is going to do something really amazing and awesome for our audience. He hinted at it earlier, but if you listen to the end, stay to the end, we're going to tell you how to get some of this amazing olive oil, and TJ's got an awesome deal if you decide you want to take part. So any tips on how we can store olive oil so that it stays fresher longer? Yes. So obviously we don't want to keep it, you know, long periods of time, but how can we extend the life of it while we've got it?
Yes. So light, temperature, and time. So mine is in very dark glass bottles. The dark glass protects the oil from sunlight and helps and also the oil being very high antioxidant also protects the oil. So the higher the level of antioxidants at the beginning, the more stable and the longevity that olive oil is going to have because it's literally being protected. So don't store it near your stove. Don't store it above your stove. You want it in a cool, dark place. So that's ideal. And the other thing is just to use it quickly. When you set your table, put it on the table with your salt and pepper. The next time you have broccoli or you have a piece of steak or you know, just some cold grilled chicken, you know, or lunch meat, just drizzle a little fresh olive oil. It's like putting almost like a basil pesto on something. You know how that kind of like elevates that experience, or you have a garden, you go out and you pick your fresh herbs and you add them to your lunch or into your salad greens. It's kind of the same thing. It's just like a pick me up. So use it frequently, use it on anything and everything. And it's just a taste adventure, right? So when you try to pair olive oil with food, I typically go with milder oil for milder food. So that's why I have a mild, a medium, and bold selection in every trio from every quarter. So if I'm making fish for dinner, I'm going to use the the mildest oil because you don't want to compete with that. So it's the same with pastas and pasta sauces. So with pasta sauces, if you have a big, heavy, robust sauce, typically you'll have a big fat pasta like rigatoni with a big tomato sauce. But if it's a very simple, delicate cream sauce, you're going to have a smaller, more delicate pasta. It's kind of the same way. And the same way with wine, right? You don't typically pair big Cabernets with, you know, fish, you know, and Pinot Noir maybe. But, you know, typically, so when you're pairing olive oil with food, and I give food pairing recommendations, and you mentioned earlier, and I didn't get into that, but on the screen here, you'll see my newsletter that goes out with each oil trio that I curate for my club members. And inside it, it talks about the story of the harvest. So I'll just kind of hold that up. So you can kind of understand why I selected these oils, who actually made these oils for you. And I really go into the story of each oil. I go into what to pair it with food-wise, or my food pairing recommendations. There are no real hard, fast, and rules. Like, you can do whatever you like. And I'm sure you do that in your kitchen, Kevin. But, you know, it's a really nice, informative read. And then there's always a health story inside that's based on a recent study, health study related to olive oil, because this one's about the Yale Symposium. They discussed olive oil's many health benefits and planetary benefits. So there was some really nice things going on with within health studies related to olive oil. And also, there's a huge recipe section at the back of the book that's got usually about 12 or 13 different recipes, all the way from salads to vinaigrettes and all that sort of thing, all the way to baking. And then on the back, there's how to host an olive oil tasting party as well, that kind of walks you through what we did about how you pour a little bit in a cup, and in your own kitchen, you can use two cups. You could use an espresso cup or a small, brandy glass, something like that, or just two small cups espresso. You could pour some of your olive oil in cup one and pour fresh pressed olive oil into cup two. And then I invite you to do this kind of taste test that we did and look for fruitiness, look for bitterness, and look for spiciness. So you can compare the two and really understand, what olive oil can be.
I'd liken the experience that you've created through your olive oil club to almost like somebody's bringing a farmer's market to me for olive oil specifically, because it's very intimate. It's personal. You understand who the farmer was and why it's there and where it came from. Just like when you would go to a farmer's market and ask specifically about your produce and how it was harvested and did they do this? Yes. And then they start to tell the story, and then you have an even greater connection. And then when you go and eat that food, it's just even more of a rewarding experience. And that's, food is so central to everything that we do, that we should look for opportunities to do that in all these different places. So I am so glad, TJ, that you offer this service and that it's available. I would love to understand. I think the last thing I'd love to know is where are you headed next? Where are the next places you're going to?
So I like, you have an advanced set of this oil. My club members are getting it in a few weeks. It's now December 1st. We're recording this, and my club members will get it in mid-December. So they'll have it for all their holiday cooking. Mm-hmm. But what I do when I visit countries of origin, I pick up about 200 cases, let's say, of olive oil. And I set this aside to introduce, because it's our club's mission to educate palates around olive oil, fresh pressed olive oil. So what I do, I work with folks like you who are helping me get the word out, and we make a very special offer. So people try the olive oil for $1. It costs them $1 shipping to get it in their home. And that's a sample bottle. So when you guys see this, I don't know exactly when it's airing, but I think it's December, January.
It'll be evergreen.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
People hear it at all times. So wonderful. For you listening in the future, also, you can still use the link and things like that that TJ is going to share with us.
Absolutely. Here. Absolutely. So these oils are fresh from Italy, but we follow the global harvest, and you'll get a full size bottle for $1. You'll get, if you join the small club, you'll get this size. If you join the large club, you'll get this size. This is 500 ml and 250 ml. And you'll get to try them in your kitchen. It's a spectacular introduction to the club. You'll get the pressing report You'll get my tasting note card that you kind of keep in your kitchen. You know, it's a wonderful experience. You know, the Italians have been, there's so much research. We talked a little bit about research before, but there's a Italians, when a baby starts eating real food, when they transition a baby from human breast milk to a regular diet, they start adding olive oil to the baby food, to the pureed, whatever, carrots or fruit or whatever they're doing. They add olive oil. Why do they do that? Well, the studies are saying that there is the fat makeup of olive oil is very much akin to human breast milk. It makes foods. And so you want to combine olive oil with other healthy foods to make them more bioavailable. So think of it as a delivery system for, you know, like a lot of supplements, right? They're like, take black pepper when you have this, because when you pair them together, it makes it, you know, so it's kind of the same thing with olive oil. So, you know, and Kevin, we, you know, you've asked me a lot of questions, but I wanted to hear more about how you're using it in your kitchen. Like, you know, are you the main cook in the house, or, you know, do you use it mostly in a pan, or you drizzle it at the table? Like, what's your olive oil story?
I am. No, I actually sometimes will just drink a little shot of it plain, which is great. But I do, when you said arugula, so yes, the bitterness in the olive oil itself has some of those hints. I love arugula also. So sometimes when I do, you know, a plain arugula salad, or maybe I'll add a few other things to this arugula salad, I will drizzle it with olive oil, and it's just fantastic. And then, yep, I'll use it in baking. I'll use it in cooking. If I'm making eggs or, you know, some other something, I'll use it there too. Usually on a lower or medium heat. I'm never doing it on the high heat, but if it's got that high antioxidant level in there, now we know, you know, that's protective of the olive oil. So you can actually cook with it, because this is good quality olive oil. So really important stuff. And I'm so glad that you shared this with our audience. And again, for everybody listening too, and we told them where to find this, TJ. We're going to put this in the show notes for sure.
Okay, great. Excellent, excellent. Put it in the show notes. There'll definitely be a link you can use. If you're just listening and want to jot this down, it's getfresh49.com, www.getfresh49.com, getfresh49.com. And there you can read all about the Fresh Pressed Olive Oil Club. You know, pretty much everything about it, but you, after listening to this show, and you know, really you just need to try it yourself and see what you think. That's really your best path forward. And, you know, you're well educated at this point, on how to shop for olive oil. You know, any shop you taste or any restaurant, you know, look for those quality markers. It's a special, unique, product, and very health promoting. Like you said, it's pretty special. I'm very lucky, very blessed that I get to live in my passion, and I get to connect these small family farmers around the world. And without people like you supporting me and the farmers, we would not be able to do this. So I just really appreciate all your support, Kevin. It means so much to us and all the farmers I work with.
Well, we appreciate you, TJ. And I mean, it's an amazing product and a service that you provide. And, you know, as somebody who is in a service, you know, kind of situation with coaching and things like that, you know, I can really appreciate when somebody puts something out there and puts their heart into it and wants to see the smiles on people's faces and the impact it has in their lives. And you absolutely deliver that right on time, all the time. So appreciate everything you do with your good quality olive oils. Awesome. And again, for everybody listening, what was it again, TJ, one more time for the link below that we'll put in the show notes?
www.getfresh49.com, GETFRESH49.com.
Wonderful.
That's for your $1 sample bottle. No commitment, no, you know, we're a good guy club. We don't, you know, we've got a very generous return policy. Well, we don't actually take returns. You get to keep the oil, but you know, we're very generous. We're a good guy company, and you know, we just want people to try this product. So Thank you again.
And you're good people too. You know, I've now known you guys and, you know, for quite some time now, and I've been on your Olive Oil Club myself personally for years, and I think it's fantastic. So appreciate you guys. And for everybody listening here, remember you can always find everything for Bone Coach. You can find it at over on Facebook, YouTube, Pinterest, TikTok at Bone Coach. And if you're on Instagram, you can find it at Bone Coach Kevin and your favorite podcast channels. We've got the Bone Coach podcast there too. And then all the resources mentioned today. So everything TJ just shared with us, we're going to leave in the show notes over at bonecoach.com/fresh-pressed-olive-oil, osteoporosis, stronger bones. I want to thank everybody again so much for your time. We'll see you in the next episode. Hey, it's Bone Coach Kevin Ellis. Hope you found that episode helpful and that you enjoyed it. Just one last reminder, if you haven't done so already, head over to bonecoach.com, sign up for your free 7-day osteoporosis kickstart. It's going to tell you everything you need to do to start getting on the path to improvement. Hope you found this helpful. I'm your Bone Coach, Kevin Ellis. I'll see you soon.